Hey guys, and welcome back. It's Some Dumb Gaijin Jazz Hands. And I'm your host, JJ, and this is the Some Dumb Gaijin podcast, and I am your Some Dumb Gaijin, or at least that's what they tell me. All right, so let's start the podcast. I'm by myself today. I don't have my cousin Corey or my buddy Matt, and I just want to break down some more stories. The last podcast that I did on the dark side of Japan did really good, and I guess it seems like a lot of you like listening about my crazy stories in Japan. So for today's episode, I thought I would talk about an interesting topic that a lot of people like, and that is partying in Japan. Cha-cha! I don't know what that was, but I kind of liked it. Cha-cha! Maybe I'm in a jazz mood today. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm growing my hair long, I'm becoming a hippie, I'm growing the Corona beard, and I'm back in Canada, and if you're watching on the YouTubes, you can see that my house looks really fucking plain, and like, that's an old miner thing somewhere in Canada, so I don't quite have the Andrew Schultz, like, Miami badass, full of money set yet, but you could donate on Patreon. Anyway, so yeah, partying in Japan. Let's get down to the nitty-gritties. So when I lived in Japan, I lived in Osaka, I lived in Gunma, I lived in Tokyo, and then I also lived in Nagoya, Kumamoto, in I forget what town, and Yamaguchi Prefecture, which are all big cities. When I lived in Osaka, I was a university student, and I partied hardy! And by that, I had a $100 a month scholarship that the university gave me. Or no, sorry. $1,000 would be crap. I had $1,000 scholarship and my rent was $100. So I had a $900 to blow a month. So what did I do? I got with my buddies that were from Australia. I got with my buddies from the Europe. And I was like, time to show that Canadians are the best drinkers out there. And if you consider getting pissed drunk, then maybe UK and Europe has some strength, but when it comes to drinking and holding your own, fuck yeah, I beat the shit out of them. Canada! You can start your Canadian chant right here if you're Canadians, and you can start booing if you're from Europe right now. But anyways, yeah. So, it was my first time in Japan. First learning about Nomi Hodai, which means all you can drink for $20 Canadian about for 3 hours. So, me and the Aussies, mainly the Aussies love to drink and they are fun. Me and the Aussies would go and we would get drunk every night and we would bicycle back home. Like, we would go to this place to our dorm that was about 20 minutes and we would bike back. And I remember telling everyone this story because I love it so much. So we get so wasted, we would bike home laughing, drunk, blah, blah, blah. And I'd wake up in the morning not remembering how we got home, but I had like all these scratches down my arms. And I was like, dude, what happened? And half the time he didn't remember either, or any of them. I'm talking about my one Australian buddy. Anyways, it's late here, so pardon me if I talk like my brain is in another world. But anyways, so me and my buddy would bike ride back, and I'd have all these scratches down my arm, and I would be like, dude, what the hell happened? And if he remembered, the one time he remembered, he was like, you don't remember? We were so drunk, we kept falling in these little, like, ditches on the side of the roads in Japan. And then it's like a little, I don't know, like, 3 foot hole or something. So the bike would fall in there and then we'd bang on the side of the, like, house or whatever, the wall or whatever that was there. And it would scratch up our arms. And yeah, I had like crazy road rash, but, really good times. Really fun times. Just scratches. And that was like the university Osaka drinking phenom. We would hit the clubs or we would hit our favorite little bar hole in the wall that was on university, which was just, wah! University girls everywhere. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful young girls. I don't know if I can do it anymore. I'm getting old. But yeah, it was awesome. We had a great time. We partied hardy. We would go to our little clubs and then we would go out to the big clubs at night. I remember Halloween, so just being in Osaka for 2 months, and I had like this Japanese comedian costume that was called Hard Gay, and yeah, it was as bad as it sounds, but really funny. If you go on YouTube and you look up Hard Gay Japanese comedy, you'll see what I mean. You either really like it or you're like, dude, that's fucking creepy gay. But he's a comedian, he's straight, he has a supermodel girlfriend, it's all good, it's all funny. It's all fun and games. Sorry, my throat is messed up. But luckily I have a brand new mic right here, the Blue Yeti, and my sound quality for my podcast should sound superb now, like the professional that I am. Oh, my throat's dying, hold on one sec. Don't worry, it's not Corona. I had Corona once, and it's gone. Actually, maybe I should do that about the podcast today, should I? Nah, let's leave it for now. I'm going all over the place because it's been a while. But bear with me, okay? I got some great stories for you guys. So anyways, Osaka, university days, it was clubs and that. And then I had that hard gay costume, that's where I was. And I went down the streets, every Japanese person loved it. They were going, oh, HG, oh my god, it's so good, ha ha ha. Why does a white guy know Japanese comedy so much? They're really blown out of their mind. And crazy times with that. Damn, this is going to be a long story, but let's bear with me. It's funny. So I went down the streets dressed as that. And I'd meet Japanese people's dressed as that. And just drunken games all around. Wait, that makes it sound weird, doesn't it? Drunken games. Just having fun. And then we got to the club and Japanese girls were going nuts over it. And then every foreigner was just like, that guy's really gay. And it was really weird. But really, really fond memory, very funny, and never want to do it again, though. Yeah, it was kind of, one time only. You really got to look at the YouTube to understand what I mean, because I think if you don't know what I mean, it's not making as much sense as I'm thinking it does. Anyways, so yeah, in the city, that's mainly what people do. You go out to the clubs, or you find your little hole-in-the-wall bar, or if you're a university student, you're golden, because it's just university girls all over the university campus, or the bars around there. And if you're a creepy old man, then you can do that too, I guess. And when I moved to Gunma, partying just got insane. Like, everyone that goes to Tokyo for girls, or Tokyo for drinking, you are missing out! Because Tokyo was not the place to be, contrary to what everyone says. It is the countryside, and all I can tell you is the Gunma experience. So when I lived in Gunma, I was set up and I had this part-time job teaching at a bar. I was teaching English, and if you listen to the other podcasts about hostesses, which are really hot girls that foreigners don't really get to meet that much, or if they do, they're really not that good. But anyways, I was talking to hostesses, I was talking to party people, I was talking to all these people in the countryside in this little double-decker bus called the London Bus. It was basically known all around the area as the place to be to party. And people would go there to party, and it would be like two foreigners and like 60, 80 Japanese people. And then you would go to a place called Metz Bar, which was the bar we would go after, and it was a small little bar that had free karaoke. And all these people from like all the neighboring prefectures would go there for the main party, and they would have like 100 to 200 people a night. We were the only foreigners, and oh my god, if you're singing English songs in front of like people that are outside of the city and don't speak English that well, you are gods. Like a shiny golden god. And man, it was so fun. Just people buying me drinks all the time, singing karaoke, people getting busy in the bathroom. Okay, maybe that was me once or twice. And just craziness. And then even crazier was where I was stationed was like a small little town that was a party central, but the next town over was more of a city in the countryside still. And there they were having bikini nights. And my buddy Sean went there, and he's the first one to tell me. And he was the only foreigner in a sea of just beautiful bikini girls. And he's like, dude, we got to go the next time. So I go with him the next time. And oh my god, I do not remember that night at all. But the pictures were just like the fucking Hangover movie. I think I have one somewhere. Maybe I had it on my Instagram, but maybe I deleted it. And it was me with like a cheetah print wife beater and a squirt gun that I was, of course, squirting at girls and vice versa. And man, the stories I had from that night were crazy. Nothing like that in Tokyo. Or if they do, they have like a foam party or something, and you have like 80,000 people packed in some stupid club, and it's really not as fun as you'd think it is. But the countryside, man, is not as many people, it's louder, it's bigger, and it's not as much bullcrap or stupid people getting drunk. And as a local, so you get to meet more people that are like getting in groups and stuff. And it's just a better way to meet people, better quality people, and just way more fun. And then, of course, I talked about it a bit before, but I also had a traveling job. So I got to go to Kumamoto, I got to go to Nagoya and Yamasaki Prefecture. And when I went there, I didn't get to party as much, but it was basically like the Tokyo scene for the most part. Except there's a little place I stayed in Nagano, they had a bar that was called Shirohige, which is basically based off the One Piece character. And I think there was a Kurohige, which is Blackbeard, and the other one was Whitebeard, by the way, if you don't speak Japanese, sorry about that. And they're based off the One Piece, the name anyways, but they were just like local bars, and met some really cool people there. Let's just put it at that. And then going into the next party scene, which I did talk about a bit before, and that's the hosts and the host clubs. So if you want to get really drunk and talk to some really cool or scary people, you go to the host and hostess clubs. Now, the host one is with male servers, which you might be thinking, oh my god, I don't want to go to that. Fucking gay guys, and I'm not gay. If you're a guy, or if you're a girl, maybe you really want to go. But anyways, the point of those is, if you go to the guy one, you're going to see more interesting people. And why is that? Is because on the guy host club, you get the female hostesses come there. So, I mean, why go to a hostess club where it's just hostesses talking business? You go to the male club, the hostesses come. The males are there. The males are really cool, really friendly. And then you get people that are like business people and all the celebrities. Japanese celebrities go to the male hostess club. And, how to describe it, man? I have one story that I'll tell you guys one day, but not yet. Gotta save that one for when more people come on here. Yeah, I kind of feel cheap there, but you'll it's worth the wait. But anyway, so the male ones, you get all that stuff. It's really cool. The one time I did it, a friend took me, and he's like fluent in Japanese. What was the word I was going to say? He knew all the hostesses. He was a playboy pimp. Let's leave it at that. And that's the other thing. If you go to the host or if you go to the hostess club, some of them speak English. If you go to the host club, pretty much none of them, unless you want to pay big money, don't speak much English at all. But if you go to one of the host clubs, then the best way to do it is just be careful of what you drink, because drinks cost money based on what drink it is. And if you go to an average host club, you just have to pay like $20 for all you can drink, like a, what is it called? Basically like a kind of a light liquor and ocha, which is, yeah, I'm starting to forget English terms now, bear with me. It's like a tea. So it's like alcoholic tea, which is kind of cool. And you get unlimited drinks of that for like 20, 30 bucks. And then on top of that, if you buy more alcohol, then it gets way more expensive. And yeah, you got to be careful with those. But the main point is, if you party with these guys, they are the party masters. They are amazing storytellers. They know all these crazy stories because sometimes the yaks come. And, but you didn't hear it from me. And yeah. Trust me, really good time. If you want a recommendation from me, there was one place that I did work at down in Kabukicho, and it was called, what was it called? Damn it, you know? I should have researched before I did this. I can't remember the name, but it's by Kabukicho, by the Godzilla movie theater. And if you go around there, you'll find it eventually. But anyways, it's kind of like a party host club. You go there, they have dances, they have they sit around, talk with people. They have a lot of crazy stuff, actually. They have singing performances, crazy comedy performances, everything you can imagine. And they're really cool. And affordable, too. Like, $20, you'll be entertained for, like, 5 hours. But the main point that I wanted to discuss with you guys, if you're going to go to Tokyo and party, you could do the clubs, but everyone does that. And if you want like crazy ass stories, you got to do these host clubs or you got to do these countryside clubs, because you ain't going to get the experience going to Tokyo or Osaka, going to just clubs that you do when you're in a hole in the wall or when you're with the locals. And when it comes to partying in Tokyo, if you want to hit the clubs, if you absolutely have to hit the clubs, I could tell you all that. But I mean, a quick search on the internet can fix all that. But basically what you're going to get is a lot of meatheads, a lot of people that speak really good Japanese that are going to cock block the hell out of you, whether you're a guy or a girl. And I don't know, it wasn't for me. But if you like that kind of crap, you'd want to probably hit up something like Camelot or something like that. Or, Jesus, it's been so wild. Roppongi, if you really just want to get laid. But if you want a good time, you want to go more Shinjuku or Shibuya. Shibuya is always good times. You walk the damn street there and you're going to get everything you need in an exciting adventure night. One more thing I want to explain. Holy crap. That was a deep breath. See, I entertain myself, people. Oh, but I need a freaking podcast teammate, you know that? I mean, I got Corey and Matt, but I need another comedian, you know what I mean? But anyways, I'm going to be uploading more comedy stuff once stuff opens up here in Canada, so you can wait on that. But anyways, let's get back to a cool topic. I didn't want to go too much on rambling on partying, because some people don't really care. So what I wanted to talk about, too, is Corona. So I didn't mention this on the before or any of the other previous podcasts, but I actually did get Corona. And I'm not going to get into the big spiel of it because I don't want people... Fuck it. You know what? I'm in Canada. I got Corona when I was in Japan. Kind of before I left. And basically, what happened was I tested negative Corona, and then that was like a $20 Corona test you can do in downtown Shibuya. And then I tested for $100, or no, I think I paid $300 for a Corona test in Tokyo, and it ended up positive. I had no symptoms, I didn't have a cough, I didn't have a fever, I didn't have anything like that, but I mean, I paid $300, you think you have a better test that said negative a week before, right? But anyway, so I was freaked out because I had to go to Canada shortly after that. And basically, if I had Corona, I lost it right away. But the crazy thing is now after whatever, 6-8 months or whatever, I do feel like difficulties breathing. And I'm scared that I have those after effects of Corona. And if that's the case, man, what the hell is going to happen next? Because I just heard that Pfizer, yeah, I always say Pfizer or whatever. Like, I keep screwing that name up. The Pfizer is coming out with a pill that like helps the side effects of that. And it seems like we're making progress. You know what I mean? Are we making progress? Yes, we can. Barack Obama style, maybe? I don't know. Fuck. But I feel like we're making progress and I feel like we're going towards a shiny future. And all I give a damn about is being able to go up on stage again and do comedy. And right now for Canada, not happening. But Los Angeles, New York, Miami, and what was the other one? Florida is Miami. No, where's the one? Texas, the new hotspot. All of them are opened up, and I think I'm going to go. I don't know if I'm going to move there, but maybe I'll go to Texas or... Where's the other one I want to go to? LA, I guess. I'm going to test the waters. I'll go there for like maybe 2-4 weeks, do my stand-up, see how it is. And if I like it, maybe I'll move there. But Canada, it doesn't look like it's opening up. And I hate to say it, but I kind of regret moving back to Canada. Just a little bit. But then again, we got weed, so life's kind of happy in this times with weed, so it's a tough one to say. But what I do miss is Japan is still open up, they don't give a shit about COVID, so I could have done stand-up up there. But now they're paying for it, and now it looks like COVID is biting the ass of Japan, and Japan's gonna get in some hard times. I don't know. What do you guys think? But anyways, in Canada, right now, everything is closed. I can't go and do my comedy, and it doesn't look like it's opening up soon. And a lot of fucking comedy shops and shops, a lot of comedy stores in Vancouver are fucking closing down. Like, the clubs just don't want to see them to open up. And that's why a lot of comedians in the U.S. now are booming, while Canadian comedians are just sinking. And there's a lot of, like, Zoom and online shows, but I kind of have to agree with Bill Burr and say, what comedian rightfully would perform on Zoom? Because to me now, here's my thing. I done acting, I done movies, I done TV shows, I've done narration, I've done fucking emceeing, I've even done singing in a band, even though I'm a guitarist. And, of course, stand-up comedy in English and Japanese. And when you do stage work, it's so much more stressful, so much more harder, so much more, like, technique to hold an audience and to interact as well as give them a show with a live audience. But when you're behind a camera, like I'm doing this podcast right now, but I don't edit this shit, so... But unlike people that edit it or do YouTube or do acting on dramas or movies, if you fuck up, you just take two. So everyone has a lot more confidence. They're allowed to be fake. They're not their real selves. And like, I know a bunch of famous YouTubers, I won't say names, but they're fucking pricks, man. Really prickish. But everyone that watches them doesn't see that side because they edit it out, they fine tune it, they get himself all perked up and pretty and awesome and nice, and every little fuck word they bleep out. But us comedians are real, man. We don't give a fuck what any of them think. And that's why you love us. And that's why we love you. But my point is, if you do Zoom comedy, even though you can't edit, people still feel comfortable behind a camera. There's no audience to boo them. There's no audience to cheer. There's no crowd interaction. So it's just like videotaping a YouTube video. So I refuse to do Zoom comedy for you. And, you know, Bill Burr said it. Joe Rogan said it. A bunch of the famous comedians already said it. And it's just like, if you're a real comedian, you kind of feel that, right? Like, there's no point in doing it over the internet. The only reason why a lot of comedians try it or a lot of comedians even do it is just because they want to do comedy. They want to break free. And we can't. Do I have a good Freddie Mercury voice on here? I want to break free. It's not how the song goes, is it? Whatever, you know what I mean. But yeah, so fuck Zoom comedy. Fuck it in the ass. Ah, but it's still a wait then. So, you know what? I don't know what to do. If you're watching on YouTube, leave me a comment. Tell me if it's Texas, if it's LA, if it's New York, or if it's Miami. Because Andrew Schultz is kicking it in Miami. And I love his fucking Miami get up. He's looking like Razor Ramon oozing machismo, if you remember that old WWF gimmick. And that's pretty badass. He's like Scarface, man. So he's living the dream of, like, every movie character and, like, wrestler that I know. Well, only the one wrestler, but he's living the dream in Miami. But then on the other hand, you have Texas that is, like, this hot spot. You got Joe Rogan, you got Tony Heachcliff of the Kill Tony podcast, you got all this cool shit. And I'm like, where the fuck do I go? Because unlike Tony Heachcliff or Joe Rogan or Bill Burr, I spent the last 10 years studying Japanese comedy and doing Japanese comedy. So, I mean, I'm not starting from the bottom, but I need at least a year or two to perfect my English stand-up. Right now in my head, it's fucking great. And for the English stand-up that I did do in Japan for like the 2-3 years or whatever, it does good. But I mean, I was really pandering to... I don't even know how to call the audience in Japan, but it's not the same. Put it this way, when I was doing it in front of like drunk people that were passing through Japan, fucking killed. But when I was doing it in front of like the people in Japan, they're like, you know, that's a little too mean to the transgender community or, oh, you shouldn't make fun of BTS. No, BTS is so great. How could you do that? And it's like, bitch, please. If I want to make fun of someone, I'm going to make fun of someone. And if you don't like it, tough shit. Sit down and listen to me fucking talk. And if you hate it, then just don't come the next time or go take a piss. I don't know. Piss and piss off. That's a good motto. Just go take a piss and piss off. I don't know, I'm easily amused again. Sorry about that. But yeah, so I don't know. I need to do comedy. I'm burning for comedy. And I want to get a better set. I'm sorry if you guys are watching this on YouTube and you're just like, JJ, your background sucks ass. I know it sucks ass, but I'm going to do something with it. But right now I'm in my parents' house because I can't afford to get a house in Canada. I can't get an apartment in Canada because apartments right now in Canada are more expensive than Japan. Why, God? And I don't know what to do, really. But I got 2 months, not because my parents are kicking me out, but because I don't want to live with my parents. I got 2 months. I got to find a place or I got to get the fuck out. And I'm going back to Vancouver or I am doing the America road trip. And, yeah, I don't know. That's about it for comedy. All I know is I have like 4 hours of material. And guess what, people? I want to record it onto YouTube. And that will become my new to YouTube as well as this podcast. And hopefully I find someone cool to do my podcast with. Maybe Bill Burr will do a podcast with me. Yeah, right. But you can dream. You can dream. And anyways, I need that person to bounce off. I love Corey. I love Matt. I have fun doing it with you guys. But I need that other crazy comedian energy. Maybe a girl comedian would be fun. You know? Someone like Sarah Silverman. Yeah, we'd have some fucked up conversations, me and Sarah Silverman. But, I don't know. Sorry, now I got an active imagination. I'm just like, yeah, if me and Sarah Silverman made a podcast together, it would basically be a lot of her poo-poo jokes and a lot of me like, so do you like golden showers? And not because I do, but because I'm pretty sure Sarah Silverman has had almost every substance on her body at one time. Just saying. I bet you $100 she has. She's like, yeah, you know, I try anything once. And that's why I love her. She's a freak. I love freaks. But anyways, guys, good things are coming. I don't know why. I got this spiritual mojo in me that just knows JJ's going up, 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 up. And then we'll look at this and laugh. Like, what the fuck is that? If you know what this is, leave it in the comments and I will give you a super special surprise because I have no clue. Oh, I think it's like a mining thing somewhere in Canada. But I don't really know. I mean, it could be this, but, you know, I don't know. And I don't know what that accent is, but maybe it's too late here. It's about midnight, and I got that Genki high. I'm like, you know, I can't sleep, but at the same time, my brain isn't working. But then again, that's when you get up with really good comedy bits, so loving it. But anyways, guys, let me know what you thought about today's podcast. I'm getting back into it. I'm going to do bi-weekly, maybe? Supporting the bi community? Pfft, fuck, I'm not bi. I thought I had, like, the best joke right there. And then it was just like, no, I didn't got it. But yeah, anyways, guys, I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're enjoying your life. I hope that Corona's not kicking your ass and bringing you down, but you're kicking Corona's ass and bringing it down. Either by taking vaccines or just by not. And it dying anyways. But, and because Joe Rogan got in a bunch of shit recently, let me just say, JJ is not an anti-vaxxer. But he's also not a pro-vaxxer. He's kind of in the middle. Like, let's just get better, okay? Something like that. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Yeah. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Let me know what you think down in the comments below. Tell me if you know what the hell that is. And let me know how this new microphone sounds because I think I like it. I think I like it. That was a Dumb and Dumber reference there for you if you didn't know that. Okay, guys. I am out. Peace. And I love you. I really do. No, I don't. Okay, see you guys. I do love you. Peace.